Hello and welcome to the Equine Connection Podcast, hosted by Tribute Superior Equine Nutrition. I am Dr. Nicole Rambo, and I am joined today by two of our amazing equine specialists, Heather.
Hello, everybody.
And Sarah.
Hi, guys.
So we are talking about the cutest little animals in the world today. What do you guys have for a case study for me?
An orphan foal.
Ah, okay. So this is a tough situation because it's obviously something, you know, no breeder wants to have happen. And hopefully you've done some pre-preparation. So the biggest thing I would say, you know, whether you have a single mare who is going to foal or a large farm, preparing for the worst and hoping for the best is always a good idea with breeding. So in this scenario, Heather, Sarah, our orphan foal, is mom still around and just not producing milk, or are we full on orphan?
We are full on orphan in this case.
Okay. So in terms of options, you know, a nurse mare would be lovely. That's not available to everyone. But, you know, big, big concern is going to be the first 12 to 24 hours of life. We need a source of colostrum. So in this case, did we lose the mare immediately?
That is correct.
Okay.
Mother passed away during birthing.
Okay. So yeah, this is the worst case scenario, right? So, you know, colostrum has all of these really good antibodies that the foal does not have. So they're, you know, really born without this developed immune system. And if you've been doing all of your vaccination program with your mare throughout her pregnancy, those are designed to have her immune system producing antibodies that are put into her colostrum, which is her first milk, which is then given to the foal. So what we hopefully have access to is some pre-saved colostrum. In some situations, you know, we can milk the mare as well if that's possible, but I'd definitely say having that either on hand, so frozen in your freezer, or maybe you work with a local group of breeders and you know who has that available. Like, there's a colostrum bank, some vets offer that service as well. Super duper important that in the foal's first 12 to 24 hours of life, sooner the better, that we get colostrum on board. And then we're also going to want to check to make sure that passive transfer of antibodies happen. So I'd say it's really good practice with all foals. Even if foaling went perfect, baby's on their feet, nursing right away, the mare's a good producer and we know she has colostrum, it's still best to go ahead and actually do a test within, you know, the first 12 to 36 hours of life. Sooner is obviously better, especially in these tough cases, so that we make sure those foals are developing immunity. If they're not, there are some interventions that can happen, like the foals can be given plasma, but the sooner the better that we address all of those things. So that's obviously the first thing that we have in mind.
So, Dr. Rambo, at what point would we start offering some type of milk replacer or milk pellets? Is it right after we try to get that colostrum into them, or is, you know, what's that time frame look like?
Yeah, great question. So right away. So we're going to get colostrum in them, or maybe you're in a scenario where, like, I don't have colostrum and I'm trying to get my hands on some, we can absolutely offer milk replacer right away. You know, you think about naturally those foals are up and drinking really quickly. They hit the ground running sometimes, and they need frequent meals. So really let's focus on the colostrum, but thinking now separately about the milk replacer. We're going to want to get milk replacer immediately. Again, this is another one of those planning things. I've absolutely, you know, been involved on the back end of situations where we're like, okay, what dealer has milk replacer? How do we get it to you as fast as possible? That's one of those things that I recommend people just have a bucket of it. And hopefully, and it doesn't have a forever shelf life. So, like, hopefully you get to the end of your breeding season and you chuck that thing in the trash because you didn't have to use it. But I see that as an investment, and, you know, you've spent all this other time and thought and care into getting this foal on the ground, having that bucket of milk replacer so that immediately when we have a problem, we have it available to us is definitely the best case scenario. So we're going to start offering milk replacer right away. And these little guys are going to eat every 1 to 2 hours. They're just like tiny newborns, little puppies, very, very intensive, which is why when it is an option to use a nurse mare, people like to do that. There's also, you know, a socialization factor as well. I don't know if you guys have ever been around any bottle babies, but they can be a little bit different.
Yes, I definitely have. When I was in school, one of my girlfriends, she got this 2-year-old stud thoroughbred. So a lot of red flags right there. And it was an orphan. And the lady, she actually raised him in her garage. And the horse was really, really quiet. Like, it wasn't a crazy thoroughbred. Really, really quiet, good-minded. But it was so not even mean, just so annoying. Like, had all these, like, no boundaries, nothing. Turned out to be a great horse, but it definitely, like, you could tell. You could totally tell.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I actually had a gelding as a kid who was a bottle baby, and it was the mouthiest horse in the world. Again, a good horse, but it came with some quirks. Yeah, so we're going to get milk replacer on board right away. They're really for those, you know, first week of life, every couple hours, and then we slowly space out the feedings as well. Sometimes they can learn to eat milk replacer or drink milk replacer from a bucket. Some of them never do, so we end up bottle feeding the entire time. But it's, you know, pretty intensive for that first part of life. So milk replacer is concentrated, and depending on the product, there's going to be mixing directions, what temperature the water needs to be at, how much powder versus how much water you're adding. But those little guys consume a lot of milk in the early part of their life, like 20% of their body weight per day. Can be consumed in milk. So you're going to go through a fair amount of milk replacer very early in their life.
So question for you, Dr. Rainbow, and this may be kind of going a different direction, but obviously, you know, in this scenario, this horse, or this baby has experienced a very stressful situation. Do you think that something like this would like predispose them for a gastric upset, gastric ulcers, or maybe not?
Oh, that's a great question. It absolutely can. And as we know, ulcers and foals can be life-threatening. So the adult horse, most cases of its ulcers, they make horses uncomfortable, they inhibit performance, maybe they don't maintain their weight. But in these small foals, their stomachs aren't fully developed, so they don't really have a full mucosal barrier when they're born, which is part of why we have to feed them so often. So just the act of putting milk in their bellies actually helps buffer the stomach because they are secreting acid, but you can have perforating ulcers in the newborn foal. So I'm extrapolating from your question, like, should we have an ulcer medication on board? I think that's a discussion you have with your vet, and it probably varies foal to foal, but I'd absolutely say keeping a very close eye on them. I mean, which you're feeding them every 2 hours, you will anyways. But yeah, that's absolutely a potential risk factor we have with all foals, but particularly the stressed foal, the bottle baby. They're just, you know, a whole nother level because they're not having the normal social interaction, some of those things that a typical foal would.
So another question for you, and this is kind of going on the opposite end. If we have a mare that, let's say, loses her foal, if this mare is not going to be rebred or bred back, do we need to change her diet anyway to help her dry up so her milk production doesn't continue?
Oh yeah, great question. So in a perfect world, like, you would combine those two situations and you can maybe graft the foal onto another mare. I should mention sometimes a mare with a foal will take a second one. They often can't produce enough milk, so we would have to think about a creep feed in that situation for both foals. But to your question, largely, no, we don't need to change the diet. There's nothing specific we would do. They're going to dry up because they're not being nursed. However, we know lactation is very nutritionally demanding. So normally you go into lactation and say you're feeding 5 pounds of growth pellet per day through gestation. We know that mare is going to end up probably increasing unless she's a pretty easy keeper. So what we would do is maintain the diet, maybe drop down the energy a little bit if we'd been ramping up, knowing that mare gets pulled on really hard during lactation. Otherwise, you know, it's just a little bit of time for that change to happen. And then, of course, keeping an eye on things, you know, some of them can develop mastitis in that situation. So again, a little bit of extra care there.
Awesome. Thank you so much. One other thing I was just thinking about too is, you know, with a bottle-fed baby, one that's orphaned, just like we're talking about, when it comes to, quote, weaning time, like what type of scenario would that bring upon us? You know, would it just be, okay, we're introducing them to other horses, or like how, like, of course, when we're weaning, we're coming off the mare, but when we're weaning here, we're coming off the bottle. Like what's the differences between those two scenarios?
Yeah, that's a great question. So let's think about this two ways, like take out the social interaction part. You kind of end up with two stages of quote unquote weaning with your orphaned foal. We are absolutely going to feed milk replacer as really their sole source of nutrition for the first 2 weeks of their life. However, everyone's really tired after those 2 weeks. And we do now have the option to start transitioning them onto a creep feed starting at 14 days of age. So that's going to be a milk-based foal pellet. And I should say, we want to make sure that all of these products we use are specifically designed for horses. So I know some people, you know, I don't have milk replacer. Can I feed something else? Cow's milk, negative. The composition is very different. You're just going to end up with diarrhea. Goat's milk is closer, so it can work in a pinch, but like is not going to provide appropriate nutrition long term. But same thing going on a creep feed. There are ones for cattle, sheep, other species. You're going to want to make sure you purchase one for the horse. We have Foal Foundation as our creep feed. So at those 2 weeks of age, we'd start introducing creep feed, which we're ideally going to offer free choice unless they're like the piggiest piggy, and then we're going to offer it in multiple meals per day. But generally, within a week or two, we can have them transitioned off milk replacer and fully on creep feed, which does take that level of management down a notch. So that can be helpful, and they can be grazing on that creep feed. Then when they reach 3 months of age, and that's the time when their body transitions from only being able to digest milk-based protein into plant-based protein, we can start transitioning them onto Essential K or growth pellet, depending on how easy or hard a keeper they are. So probably at about 10 weeks of age, if they're not out already on pasture where they're learning to nibble on grass, I'd have some really soft digestible hay available to them. So they'll learn to start nibbling on that. Normally something they learn from mom, but foals are curious critters and they're going to start doing that as well. So then at 12 weeks of age, when they really can start digesting that plant-based protein, we can start approaching that more adult type meal where they have something like a growth pellet and hay available to them. To the second part of your question, which is like the weaning socialization, it's going to vary a ton depending on your setup. Certainly, you know, once we've gotten them off having a bottle, you know, they may be able to be integrated into a herd with other mares and foals. Sometimes that can be tricky as well. So you might be managing them separately until weaning time, and then integrating them in with their peers at that point. So yeah, it's a tricky situation.
For sure. Well, we always hope that we don't ever have to go down this route, but it's definitely a good idea to be prepared. Like you had said, you know, prepared for the worst and expect the best, or hope the best.
I like expect the best. We have that backup, a very positive manifestation there. So if you are in the situation, or you just have a poor doing foal, like let's say your mare's not producing the milk that you hope she is or whatever, we are always happy to help and kind of dig into those personalized equine feeding plans. You can specifically speak with Sarah and Heather about exactly what situation that you have going on. So how do they contact you guys?
They can reach us at 419-294-3838, extension 235. And you can email us at info@tributeequinenutrition.com.
Awesome. Or you can send us a Facebook message or go on our website, tributeequinenutrition.com, all the places. So we really hope that you guys take advantage of those things. If you have a chance and would like to drop us a 5-star rating, that's also appreciated. Helps with our circulation. But again, thank you guys so much for listening. Let us know what you want to hear about next. This is definitely a pertinent time of year for the Orphan Foal. We hope you're not experiencing it, but with this and any other question, please reach out. Thank you so much.